So she was just a, whether she was a junior or a sophomore, I can't remember now.
I'm a sophomore.
You're a sophomore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
So where are you from?
I'm from Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep.
That's a ways off.
Yeah, well, I lived in Falmouth.
Oh, you did?
My junior year of high school.
Is that so?
Yeah. Ah. So, and then I also went to elementary school in Portland. My
family's just well, you're familiar with the surroundings.
So I've been in the area.
Yes.
But I actually had no idea the mills were even up here.
Oh, yeah, but, that was a mill town.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, that was a mill town.
I think it's funny how little of Lewiston history I know, and that's why I think it's so good that Bates students are doing this.
Yeah.
Because I really
feel
like...
That's true, because they're, you know, a lot of them are here for 4 years.
Exactly.
And they don't know nothing about where they've been living all these years, so...
Exactly. Okay. First of all, if I could just get you to sign this, it's just for the release of the tape to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And then initially they just want you to state your full name and spell your last name for the tape.
Okay, I can start now?
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Anita Turgeon and I live at 263 Lincoln, Lewiston, Maine.
Do you want to spell your last name?
Oh, yes. T-U-R-G-E-O-N.
Excellent, thank you. And then this is Bridget Hart interviewing. All right, to just start off, where's the place and date of your birth?
I was born here in Lewiston, and my date of birth is January 24, 1920.
Okay. So you grew up in this
I grew up in this area.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What was the community like then, especially compared to now?
Well, it was much, you know, there wasn't nothing going like we have nowadays with drugs and all. We didn't have anything of that.
Right.
You know, it was very quiet. People were... you know, people weren't afraid of the neighbors. There was nothing going on. Everybody knew each other, and that's the way people lived then. So, but now it's a completely different, different ways of living. You never know who's your neighbor. You never know what's going to happen, and it's very changed area everywhere in the city.
Your family and ethnic background, what were your parents' names?
Yeah, my parents came from Canada, both my father and my mother, and I was born here, so I'm an American with French descent.
Okay. Would you speak French?
Oui.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. That's my language, French.
Really?
You know, my father spoke English. I don't know where you learned that, but my mother didn't speak English, but of course I went to the... I went to a parochial school right here, not too far from here on Oxford Street. And we had half an hour of French, half an hour of English.
Oh, wow.
So we learned how to speak, because at home we never spoke English.
It was all French.
Yeah. So all of our neighbors were all French people around here.
Right.
So, but we learned English.
Did you have siblings?
I was an only child.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just wondering if maybe your parent, like, were your parents here for a long time before they had you?
Yeah, they had been married for 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Big surprise.
Yeah. Well, what were your occupations?
When I work in a department store for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I got married, and I was out of work for a while, and then I went to work at the Pepperell Manufacturing Company. They were a company that they were finishing the material. The material was made in Biddeford.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there was weaved. They would bring it back to Lewiston here, which is what they called the bleachery. That's where the material was bleached. And then it was cut to make pillowcases and pillowcases, and they'd make sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was in the early part. And then when the fitted sheets started to come on the market, they went into the fitted sheet also.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, so they and then there was no queen or king size bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was all double or twin.
Okay.
So that's what they made, twin size or double size sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bates Mill, which is not too far from here,
right?
They were a company that would manufacture bedspreads and things like that, and then they would weave that material, which was called pencale. It was very, very fine material, and that would be brought over to where I work at the Pepperell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cut there, and it was finished there. At the time, way back, scalloping was the trend, and hemstitch. This is little holes, and it was all finished with thread, so that was beautifully done.
Wow.
Yes.
Very time consuming?
Yes.
Was it? Did you work at Pepperell?
Pepperell. I worked there for 27 years at that place.
Wow.
Right here, not too far from, I would say, Lisbon Street. You know Lisbon Street?
Yeah.
That mill, as you go up, was on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's gone. It's completely different things that are being operating in there, you know,
right.
Book stuff. And
right. So now, did you actually do the finishing of the hemming?
No, I folded them.
Okay.
after they were stitched,
mm-hmm.
They had to be folded.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be put on racks and brought down to be put in boxes, or, you know, they would be wrapped around in cellophane and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did then. Then they had the pillowcases were done, but then they had that machine that would turn them the wrong side out. I mean the right side out, you know,
right.
Because they were done, and then they had to be, that machine would, they'd put a pillowcase in there, and the arms would project and turn the pillowcase.
Oh, that's funny. How did you get your job there?
There's a lady that I knew that got me a job there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was working at the office, and I knew her very well. And she asked me, and at the time that was big money, $15 a week.
Oh, wow.
That when I started, but it was more than some of these places around here.
Right.
You know.
So, did you consider yourself lucky to have that?
Yes,
job there?
I did.
Did your husband work in the mill?
No, he worked in the shoe shops.
There was okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys have children?
Two daughters.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work with, like, childcare and that sort of thing?
Well, my mother took care of my children. Yeah, while I worked.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last woman that I interviewed, her family had to do it, so she was on first shift and her husband was on third shift, and they saw each other weekends only.
Yeah, oh, that was hard. I was very lucky to have my mother to take care of them.
That's excellent.
You know?
Did either of them end up working in mills, or?
Who?
Did your daughters?
No.
No.
See, that's another area that, you know, with time, they
right.
didn't want to go work in these places. And so I got a daughter that went to nursing school,
mm-hmm.
and graduated from here, St. Mary's.
Oh, okay.
They used to have a school, nursing school. Now it's been gone for quite a few. And she's still working. Well, she worked there for 27 years, taking care of the OR, Central Sterile, they call it, and what else now? Oh, it's another place that she had three places to take care of, post-operating, you know, a recovery room.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big, big, big job to take care of. So she did that for quite a few years, and then she was burning out, so she just left
right.
and stayed home. And they used to live in Winthrop then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the town of Winthrop, where they had their home, wanted the land because at the time they were building a high school.
Okay.
And where they were, the town of Winthrop wanted that area.
Mm-hmm.
So they sold it.
Right.
And they came back to Lewiston. Now they're living in Lewiston now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear about how families still really stay in the area.
Yeah, that's right. They wanted to come back because yeah. that, you know, they were brought, she and her husband were went to college, went to grade school together, and then they went to high school, and he went on his own, and then she went to nursing school, and finally they met again and married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Within your family, who really took care of money and organizing the family between you and your husband?
Well, we did that. We did that together.
Yeah.
You know, did that together to take care of the bills and
right.
the insurance and everything.
In working in the mills, did you ever think workers were overworked? Like, how long was your day, that sort of thing?
Well, we started at 7 to 3:30. So we had an hour, a half an hour for lunch.
Okay.
So that wasn't bad.
Was that, were you?
But we work hard.
Right.
We work hard, oh yes. Yeah, we work hard. That was, you know, it was all piecework.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to make more and more and made to make money because you weren't paid by the hour.
Right.
So you had to produce a lot.
Okay. Actually, a question was, who was more inventive, pieceworkers, bosses, or salaried people?
Well, let's see now. They had a lot of people coming up with these different things, but you know, we never had any pension plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they say they were leaving.
Right.
With nothing.
Right.
You know, there we were. And at the time, well, you know, if we didn't have somebody to fight for us, they wouldn't do nothing.
Right.
No.
Who fought for you?
We had a union. We had
Did
a
you?
Union that, you know, they were the spokesperson for these, mm-hmm. for us people, because otherwise we wouldn't get much of anything, because like I say, we never had anything out of them. You know, we got the jobs, but when they left, it's too bad we didn't have any pension plan like people have today.
Right, yep.
You know, but they decided to leave.
Right.
They went down south.
Yep. Were women involved in the union?
Men and women.
Men and women,
yes.
Were both?
Yeah, we had women that took care of the women, you know, and then we're all together at
right.
meetings, and, you know, whatever things would come up, have meeting to discuss
mm-hmm.
whatever was going on.
The class that I'm doing this for is a gender relations anthropology course, so that'll be why I'm asking questions about relations between men and women. But then that said, were most of your coworkers men or women? Or was it pretty even?
Pretty, more women than men,
uh-huh.
because there were a lot of stitchers, which were women,
uh-huh.
and all of, excuse me, and all of these, everybody that would work on pillowcases, they were half and half on that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, excuse me, otherwise there would be more women.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, did you find that as far as interactions with a supervisor, did women have any more problems than men?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you think it was pretty even?
It was pretty even, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
That's excellent. Within your working environment, were there ever, or I guess even in Lewiston, were there ever any conflicts between different ethnic groups? Or did everyone socialize together?
way back, it was all Irish that settled.
Okay.
First, and then French people started to come from Canada
uh-huh.
to come to work in the mills,
uh-huh.
and that was a big conflict.
Oh, really?
Between the French and the French and the Irish,
oh,
that was something else.
Yep.
I don't remember that, but I know that has been going on a lot. But then after a while, you know that the French and Irish got married.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. See, they got together. They married. French married an Irish, and Irish married a French.
Right. Did the Irish people also work in the mills?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Was everyone?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The town that my mom is from, it's half Irish, half Lithuanian, and it's very similar like that.
That's right. We had Lithuanians here in the city, too.
Yeah, I've seen Lithuanians.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, we had Lithuanians. Very nice people. Yeah, I had, we had Lithuanians people that lived, that worked with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were nice. I just love them.
Now, as far as accommodations toward women within the mill, like maternity leave or accommodations for pregnant women, what was that like?
Yeah, well, you were allowed, I think it's 13 weeks then with pay, and then you have to come back to work.
Now, do you think, were there problems within that, or were people very accommodating? Like sometimes women will face issues with, like, being fired if they get pregnant or something like that.
No,
did that ever occur?
No. You had to leave a, you know, you had to leave of absence and then you'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was
no problem.
Never any problem with that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How did people get jobs? Like, who got what jobs?
Well, they applied. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, they applied. You know, I guess they went to apply. They get left their names, and whenever there was an opening, they called these people back.
Mm-hmm. Was there any difference? I mean, you mentioned that women were stitchers, but was there any gender division within who got what jobs, or did everyone apply for everything?
No, they applied, and I guess whether they were satisfied, whatever job was offered,
right,
they'd take it,
right,
you know.
Okay. And then who was admired or looked down upon within those jobs? Like, what jobs were considered high level or admirable versus, like, who were, like, the lower workers?
Well, you know, there was the you'd call the manager of the place. And then there were, they would call them floor ladies. They are the ones that would look after, if somebody was missing, they had to replace them.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of work had to be out first, you know, they would go around the room and that's where the ladies. But then there were men too. There were, you know, at the echelon there, there was that top manager. Of course, he wasn't on the floor, he was in his own office.
Right.
But the other ones would report to him whatever was going on and what had to be done.
Right.
Okay. And if they had to work overtime, if there's so much work that had to be out, you'd have to work an hour overtime to get that work out as soon as possible.
Okay. Was there pay for overtime?
Yes.
Okay.
Time and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was more important to actually get the work done than worry about, like, having the mill have to pay overtime?
When the work had to be done, they were willing to pay to have that work out as soon as possible.
Right.
For their customers.
Right. Were there ways of getting favorite jobs? If you wanted a specific job, was there a way?
No. It went by seniority.
Okay.
See?
Mm-hmm.
If you've been there 3 years, well, the one that just came in couldn't get your job because you had seniority.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have favorite memories from working at the mill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had, we met a lot of nice people that I still remember, and we'd meet. Because, you know, right now I don't know how many is left there. I think I'm one of the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the younger ones that worked there.
Uh-huh.
And throughout the years, you know, there's a lot that died. I don't know how many is living right now.
Right.
But there were a lot of nice people that I really enjoyed being with.
Mm-hmm. Did your family life at all center around the mills? Like, I know that there were, like, very social, a lot of social functions that went through the mills, and just were a lot of your friends mill workers? How did that work?
Yeah, we had at Christmas time, all the women would get together and we'd have a big party.
Uh-huh.
At Christmas time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. What about difficult experiences or any challenges you faced working there?
Not really. We didn't have nothing going on. Everybody got along well, and whatever job was available. If there was a job posted,
uh-huh,
and you'd think, well, I think I'd like to change. So you'd put your name on the board,
uh-huh,
and if you had seniority, you would get it.
Oh, okay.
See?
Right.
That's the way it worked. Well,
right.
I think that was fair.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's still pretty much how it works as well. What about... just anything else you'd like to talk about? Or?
Well, let's see now. I'll tell you how many meals we had.
Okay.
Yeah, there was the Libby Neal. Uh-huh. That was a woolen mill. Libby, it's burned. You'll probably see it when you cross the road. Across from the, let's see, there's Lincoln Street and Main Street,
uh-huh.
the Longley Bridge,
okay.
right on the left there, and that's the Libby Mill that burned a few years back.
Okay.
And then it came down to the Bates Mill on Canal Street.
Right, I've been to that.
Yeah, and then there was the Hill Mill, that's on Canal Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Canal Street again, that was the Androscoggin Mill. So, and the rivers, when they first dug the rivers, there was all made by Irishmen.
Okay.
Can you imagine digging canals?
Wow.
That was unreal. Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dug the canal.
How long ago were those?
Oh my goodness, that was in the 1800s.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when the canal had all that water, which was run by, a lot of things were run by water then.
Right.
You know, there wasn't that much electricity.
Yeah, actually, one of the questions was, did you know about any illegal discharges into the river back then?
Yes, I guess there was, because,
yeah.
you know, they didn't have the things that possibilities they have now with the sewage and everything now is being taken care of.
Right.
But then everything was thrown out in the river.
Right.
You know, that's why it was so polluted.
Right.
It was just unreal. And the paper mills, of course, they dump a lot of their acids.
Right.
At summertime, you wouldn't believe, it was just awful. You could open the windows, the wind, if you'd open the windows and you'd have a white sink in the morning, it would be rusty, like rust.
Oh, wow.
And the houses.
Yeah.
There would be rust on the, colored on the houses.
Wow.
Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah, that was bad. But there was and Mr. Lawrence from the Bates Mill,
mm-hmm.
he's from the Bates College, I think,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one that started to clean up the Androscoggin River.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Lawrence, I remember that thing. Yeah.
So how long did it take? Was there noticeable improvement?
Oh, yes. And right now, they want to keep it that way.
Right, definitely.
Because, you know, right now, there's that hotel that built along, there's Esplanade where you know, older people live.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's such a nice, it's a nice river, it's a beautiful river.
It's gorgeous.
And the falls are so nice,
yeah.
too. So, you know, they're trying to keep the pollution, and we don't smell it anymore. There's no
right.
smell coming out of it.
There used to be a noticeable smell.
Oh, in the summertime, like I say, it was, you know, on the humid days there, it was just unbearable.
Oh no. How about working conditions within the mill? Like in the summer, did it get extremely hot? Or like were there ways to, how did people survive?
When I went downstairs, I worked on the, that was downstairs on the pillowcases, that was hot in that place. We had the fans,
mm-hmm.
but this place was so warm, it was just awful. They didn't have any air conditioning or anything.
Right.
There. But
were you given breaks at all to like drink water or whatever too?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay.
And then, did I tell you about the pepperell? They didn't weave here. They just finished the material.
Okay.
All that material, all the cotton, came from Biddeford.
Uh-huh.
That was woven there.
Right.
They bring it here, and then they fit. You know, they bleach it, and like I say, they cut it in whatever wanted fitted sheets or whatever else they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done over here. So that was a transportation back and forth.
Oh, okay. And then, when did the place that you were working in the mill shut down?
That was in let's see now.
Okay.
Yeah, 69.
So pretty early.
Yeah.
Because there were some that were still open for a while, right?
Yes, yeah. See, the Bates was still going,
mm-hmm.
and the Hill, and then they all folded up, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
They're gone. But the Bates Mill used to make a lot of bedspreads. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was called George Washington. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful bedspread. At the time, they sold a lot of them. Then there was Martha Washington. That was another design.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there was that was their most valuable bedspreads that they made. Mm-hmm. Real nice. Then they made tablecloths. They had the most wonderful tablecloths. Uh-huh. They were just great. They were made out of rayon, and the pattern was just one pattern, chrysanthemum. Mm-hmm. And then they made an all white. And then they had one with a mint green border.
Oh, wow.
I still can see all that stuff, you know?
Yep.
Still in my mind.
Yep. Did you own any of the products that you made there?
Oh, yes. Everybody could buy.
Yeah.
Everybody could buy some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about just differences in Lewiston because of the mill shut down? What happened? How did the community survive?
You know, people had to try to find jobs somewhere else. You know, they'd go in different areas. Some people would change from going in the mills to learning a new trade, going to construction, the men. Mm-hmm. And the women, well, some of them went to school. Mm-hmm. To learn other things, to try to find, diversify, you know.
Right.
So others went to work in they had a General Electric. I should have gone there, which I regret not going.
Oh, really?
I'd have a pension today.
Right.
But I didn't go, so they had other things, you know. Some went into stores, some went into the, had a lot of shoe shops going. Mm-hmm. So they went there.
Did you just stop working after?
No. I kept on working.
What did you do?
Well, I went from there, the purple, I went to the right here. Oh, there's another one, that Continental Mill, I forgot to tell you about that one on Oxford Street.
Uh-huh.
That was a cotton mill. That's where my mother worked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Both my father, my mother worked at the Hill Mill. My mother was a weaver, mm-hmm. and my father was a loom fixer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how they earned their living. And you know, way back at the time, my mother and my father came here. I think they earn about $3 or $4 a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So how they made it, I don't know,
yeah.
Really.
Was that considered?
Yeah, yeah,
Was that reasonable?
That was going. That's what was going okay. Then.
Was that enough to survive on, to live on, barely?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then you said you made 15 a day? Or a week?
A week.
A week.
The petrol,
oh, okay.
That was a week.
Okay. Wow.
But then that was, I was still in the 40, 41.
Uh-huh.
So, kept going up a little, you know, the wages kept changing.
Right.
But still, it took a long time. But people never earned a lot of money around here.
Right.
Never.
Now compared to other mills, was 15 a week good?
Yeah. Yeah,
because you said you were satisfied.
Yes. Yeah. That was the going just about, just as best as you could get then,
right.
You know. So, that's the way it was, way back.
Now, was that a comfortable amount to live on, having two daughters and with your husband's income as well?
Yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah, see, the prices weren't like they are today.
Right.
You know, you could manage much better than you could now.
Right.
Could make it now.
Right. As far as gender relations within the workplace, what is your opinion on how they were when you were working in the mills versus how they are today or how you hear about them today?
Well, way back then, I think, you know, all the men and women really got along very well.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were nice people, really. They weren't, I don't remember having anybody bad there, you know. They
right.
were Democrats and Republicans, and they would talk, and this guy would call me a demo, because I was a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
He says, hi there, demo. He called me that. Didn't mind.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, what I mean, there was nothing bad coming out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, people just, you're this and I'm that, and that's okay. No problem.
Wow. That's good.
People interacted very well, really,
uh-huh.
You know.
Was working in the mills a very uniting force? Like, to get past those differences, such as being a Democrat or Republican?
No, I don't think so. I think this, especially this Lewiston here was, way back was a Democratic city, uh-huh. and it kept on, but that's the way it was then. I think probably it's changed a little,
uh-huh.
but not too much. We still have a lot of Democratic people, you know, like mm-hmm. the city of Lewiston and Auburn. They have, in fact, they have brothers.
Right.
Their brothers, you know, one in Auburn and one in Lewiston. That's strange, but it happened.
Right. That, so was the environment in the entire city very open to everyone and very, like, everyone got along? Or was it particularly within the mill life?
No. It was all over the city.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. There was all kinds of, like I say, there were Lithuanians, there were Polish people, there were French, Italian. You know, it was a mixture.
Right.
And we had on Lisbon Street, we had all kinds of stores. It was wonderful to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were all kinds of nice stores.
Yeah.
And now, of course, it's all gone. But like I say, they were owned by all kinds of people,
uh-huh.
you know. So people got along well, mm-hmm. really. And, you know, they didn't say, well, I'm not going there because he's Polish or
right.
French or what.
No. How do you think that compares to today with the Somali population?
I don't know. I don't go too much to different stores,
right?
But and then I don't interact too much with people. Well, the ones I do, I volunteer at the hospital,
uh-huh.
so I meet a lot of people, you know. But everything goes on well, you know. I don't uh-huh. I don't ask them because we don't ask any question. I don't ask them whether they're French or Irish or
right.
whatever. But you know, I if they want to talk, if they want to speak. I do. They don't. Well, I just,
right. you
know, because we take them down to different areas for tests, you know.
Okay.
So that's what I. But now I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people here. They weren't born here.
Uh-huh.
They come from I don't know where.
Uh-huh.
They come here with drugs, you know, and all right. kinds of stuff. They're not. They never born here. They were from, God knows where.
Right.
They you know, they bust them every other week.
Uh-huh.
They're busted in different areas.
Uh-huh.
They come from Massachusetts, New Hampshire, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But like I say, a lot of these people that don't belong here,
uh-huh.
they come here to be on the dole or to sell drugs. That's all they're good for.
Right.
I know that because, you know, I hear that every day. You know, these people, they different names there, and they say, well, they come from here, they come from there. They weren't born here.
Right.
People that were born here, I don't mean they were all 100% good,
uh-huh.
but I mean we didn't have these problems.
Right.
Now there's more problems that, I don't know, I feel safe living here.
Uh-huh.
The door's locked, and I wouldn't let anybody in.
Right.
And I don't drive at night.
Right.
If I have to, my daughters will come and get me and take me back. But it's scary nowadays, you know?
Right.
You don't want to be, I wouldn't want to be outside by myself
uh-huh.
on the road, right. not knowing what's going to happen. So it's not a good way of living right now.
Right.
You know, I know, I'm not the only, it's not the only place in Lewiston, Maine. It's,
right.
Generally, that's what's happening mm-hmm. nowadays.
Yeah. Would you have felt more safe back then? Mm. At the time.
Oh yes. I used to belong to that church here, St. Mary's Church.
Uh-huh.
I'm Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And I used to belong to the choir. Well, we had two rehearsals a week, one on Wednesday night and one on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I used to walk. I used to live at 78 Lincoln. So I used to walk. Nothing happened.
Right.
And I wasn't scared.
Right.
I'd walk from there at night. We had the rehearsal would be at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and we'd get home by 9. No problem.
Uh-huh.
You know? No, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
I don't even go from here to there
right.
on foot.
Yeah.
Sad.
That's
you know?
Sad.
Huh?
That's very sad.
Yeah, it is. So, that's the way things are nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'll move. I think I'm old enough to stay here until I die, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid of what's going to happening with the rivers.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I didn't even
oh, you haven't? see if I get that, well, 1936, mm-hmm. there was an awful, awful, that was March.
Oh, wow. Maine's greatest flood.
Oh, it was just awful.
So this was when all the snow was melting, like, right
see,
around this time
as well?
See,
that's the Longley Bridge now.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, see, that's the Longley Bridge.
Wow. That's so, oh, so high.
I think that was the dam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many times has it flooded?
Well, I was there, and then this in, let's see now, which, the last time was in 89. Mm-hmm. There was before that, there was another one before that. Oh, look at this.
Wow.
Yeah, oh God, it was awful.
At this time, where did you live?
78.
So,
but we didn't get it there.
Okay.
It didn't come there. Can you imagine? But over here, it was just awful.
Were you affected? What, in the 80s? You said.
Yeah.
You had to leave.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The water came up in the 80s, and came up way up to the first floor.
Were the mills affected at all with the?
No.
With the flooding?
No, they well, yes, the Libby Mill, they're right by the falls.
Uh-huh.
So the water
okay.
came there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if the museum would be interested in this because it doesn't necessarily specifically pertain to the mills. But there are so many pictures of how it used to be. Would you be willing to let them make copies of any of these?
Mm-hmm.
Because I won't, like, I'll just let Rachel know that you have
mm-hmm.
this.
Because
I
told Rachel I'd be seeing her.
Yeah.
Because I've got a picture of the, somebody gave me the picture and they didn't want it. I don't throw anything out. I'm a collector.
Yeah.
See, that was from the Pepperell Mill.
This is the one that you worked at?
Yeah. See, these were all the foremans and the
if you'd like, I could take this with me, or also, because I have a release form for anything you want to give as well,
mm-hmm.
anything you want to donate, and I could take it with me, or we're having a reception on April 6th, where everyone that we've interviewed can come to meet us at the Lewis and Auburn Museum, and or you could bring them with you there
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to come
mm-hmm.
to that as
mm-hmm.
well. I'd love to see you again.
I gotta look, see if I get something else. I thought I had something else for Rachel.
Okay.
But this is, that's old, so I don't know whether that's. That's what I wanted to give her, too.
Oh, the Social Security law?
1937.
Wow. Wow. Were those, like, hung up in the mills?
I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Somebody gave it to me. I don't know where they got it either,
mm-hmm.
but that I want to give to Rachel too.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to give to Rachel this. I want to give to Rachel. I got a few names, you know, that I had. I don't remember all of them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that there's just one woman in this picture. I wonder who she was.
She must have been a...
Because there's just the one.
Yeah, well, she must have been a forelady.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wouldn't know whether she would be, her name would be Martha Stowell.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was Martha Stowell, no, that was the daughter. I don't know what was the mother's name, but the mother was a forelady.
Uh-huh.
There.
Now, so there was one forelady and then just one foreman?
Well, and then probably there was one, but with the years, they had more than one.
Right.
See? Because they had the stitching department, they had to be this lady. Folding department, there was another forelady. And then fitted sheets had their own department, so there was another.
Mm-hmm.
There were ladies. So at the time, I don't remember his name. They had this house. The Pepperell owned the house on Pine Street. Now it's a funeral home.
Okay.
What's the name now? Is it Albert and Burpee?
Okay.
They own that house. That was a beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
And the agent would live there for nothing. It's the company that would provide provide a home for him and his family.
So then, all of these other men?
Yeah, these were all foremen, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all working in there, in the office. There were men working in the office, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the men were, of course, they had different areas, you know, like plumbing, and they had the woodworking stuff, but they would take care of all these buildings.
Okay.
So these men had all, you know, different areas. They had different men working in, because they have the CEO, and then they have an assistant, and
mm-hmm.
I can't remember that one. I think the name was Adams. Mm-hmm. I don't, of course, I don't remember them all, but they've been there for so long. The agent's name was Harrison, and then there was Mr. Cronin. Arthur Clucci became took the place of Harrison,
mm-hmm.
French guy. So that's the one I told, Rachel I'd give her. Because I never wanted to part with it. I says, you know, someday, and then that museum came along, so I says, well, you know, that would be a good place for her if she wanted it. So I saw her in the hospital last week.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the emergency, and she was sitting there, so I talked with her. I said, I've got something. I said, I don't know whether you'd be interested. She says, yes. She says, just call me or... She told me when she'd be there, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent.
So I want to keep that. And I says, well, I put a plastic on it, you know, some saran wrap so it wouldn't...
Right.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure she'd make a copy and give you back the...
Oh, I don't want it back.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Okay. No. What will I do with it? And when I die, they don't know. They're going to throw stuff out that they don't know. They'll see some pictures. They don't know anybody. That's going to be thrown out. And if somebody can use it,
there you go.
So much the better.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do with it. All right.
Well, it was excellent meeting
you. Yeah, me too.
I'm
glad you came over.
Yeah, definitely. And then we'll have that reception on April 6th. If you could come, that'd be great. And then you could always bring a guest.
April 6th? Where is that?
April 6th. Have you been to the museum, Ella?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yes. What time?
It's 1:45 to 3:15.
So what day is that on?
It's on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to mark it down.
Yep. I'll send you a little card about it, too.
Oh, you will?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But then it'll be great. And there'll be lots of... previous mill workers.
You know, I haven't been. Rachel asked me, she said, did you come over last year? Well, they had that big meeting, you know, with all the different people in mills. Well, I don't belong to Bates Mills, so I didn't go.
Right.
She said, you should have come over. Excuse me. So I says, no, I didn't go. She says, well, you missed it because you could have come. Well, I said, I didn't know whether I thought it was only for the Bates Mill.
Right.
So I could have gone. But I never been to the museum.
Yeah, they have some looms and they have it all set up just like it would go through like the production of the whole thing. So
yes.
They have old equipment
there.
And then also like samples of what was produced and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so they must have samples of whatever bedspreads they had because I'm sure...
Yep.
There was a cellar, I tell you. It was so heavy. You couldn't wash it in a washing machine.
Really?
It was too heavy. I don't know what they did, people way back then, what they did to wash it.
Right.
Because there's no ordinary washing machine that would do that, break right down.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. I wonder how they washed them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then they have just samples of... Well, I guess just anything anyone has donated. They just have all sorts of things. And, like, they have patterns of everything and how it was all produced. So it's really interesting.
Yes,
especially, like, previous to conducting any interviews to go through because you really get to understand the process so that
when
you're interviewing or describing, you can understand what you're talking about.
There was a lot to it to make patterns.
Yeah.
You know, so many, all these bobbins there and the looms and everything that... people used to work on.
Yeah.
Wonderful, but it's gone.
Yeah.
Too bad all these things have gone by.
I know.
You know.
It's so good that the museum's documenting it.
Yes. I'm so happy that anybody that had things like that, it's just like the old times. You know, people had wonderful furniture.
Right.
Brass beds. Mm-hmm. They have nice it was maple something, and they'd made furniture. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it out in the dump. The new modern furniture came along.
Yeah.
Everything well, my father and mother, they had the most beautiful brass bed.
Mm-hmm.
I kept it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it here, but I kept it, and I says, well, somebody will... So I asked one of my daughters, you want it? She says, yes. So she took it. She still got it. When they moved back to Lewiston, she got a nice room, set it up there.
Yep.
Set it up there and
well,
so what's your last name, Bridget?
Harr.
That's I never heard that name before.
Yeah.
Bridget I did, but not Harr. Harr.
I don't know. I think Harr might be Polish.
Polish, yeah.
Slovak.
Is that so?
Like I'm mostly Irish, but it's funny, my dad's dad just is the one, like, Slovak area.
It's a mixture.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a mixture.
Yeah.
Just like we called them Teogenia Adams, but their names wasn't Adams. They changed it from, I don't know what it was first, but they changed it to Adams so it would be shorter.
Right.
Yeah, they were both nice people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It was excellent meeting you.
Oh, I'm glad
and
you came.
Your story.
I hope I help you.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's, you know.
There's that.
Oh, yes, I'll bring that over too.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, you want to bring that over or what?
Well, if you'd like, that's fine. Let me just get out the other form for you to sign then.
50 cents then.
Wow.
Lewiston Daily Sun. And in the evening we had the journal.
Oh, okay.
You'll send it back or you'll bring it back?
Yeah, I think you should probably just circle that you're lending it and then Rachel would bring it back, I'm assuming, or like another volunteer would.
Where should I?
Just circle lender here and then write your name. Yeah. Okay, and then just, I guess, just list the title of the book, just like a little...
Flood, Maine's Greatest Flood.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just say book about Maine's Greatest Flood, or picture.
Oh, that one I was telling you about, I'll show you the last page is, there's the mills I was telling you about on the river there.
Oh, yeah.
Longley Bridge. See,
oh,
the,
wow.
The river was overflowing.
Wow. So that's
they had a big fire. There was a, see, now you don't see that as much because there was a big fire.
Right.
If you ever come out from Auburn, you can see that they, can see those. They're trying to renovate them to have like a, I don't know what they say, they want condos and restaurants and gift shops and stuff like that. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, also, what we could do is if you are just going to bring the picture and the little pamphlet about the security, you could just bring this at the same time if you'd like.
Oh, okay. I'll put that in the bag there and put it all together. Now I'll have to, you'll have to give me the date again because
April 6th. It's Wednesday, April 6th. And then it's from 1:45 to 3:15.
Okay.
And it's in the Museum LA, which is in the Bates Mill complex.
Like, yeah, she told me you go
right
by Da Vinci's,
yeah, right
upstairs,
by Da Vinci's,
huh?
And then just go in and upstairs.
Yeah, okay. There. I gotta write it down because I won't forget.
Yeah.
And even if I make little notes, I forget them. That's the way it is when you get older.
Yeah.
Forget.
Yes.